Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, everyone. This is the Sound Health Options Directions for Truth show with Richard Talk to Me Guy and Sherry Edwards. Good evening, Sherry.
Hi, Richard.
Hi.
Hello, Richard. I never thought I would say this to you, but I'm sorry that there's so much rain.
I know. Thank you. Thank you very much. If it would just come down in a little more orderly fashion, we'd be much better here. But, you know, that's nature. Lots of flooding.
Well, Richard's house is about to be flooded where he is standing and doing the show. And if it rushes up over the threshold, you will just not hear Richard anymore. And he'll go on with the show in the Ethernet, but not really with Richard. So he may just be gone.
If I'm suddenly gone, you'll know why. I'll have to put up a sound effect of bubbles. Or something.
We are simultaneously broadcasting from the Institute of Bioacoustic Biology and Sound Health here in Ohio. And I just looked out the window and about a half hour ago, and it's totally dark. How can it be dark at 5:30? That just really surprises me. And from Richard over there in California, he's with Blog Talk Radio, 847-850-1407, especially if you don't hear the show well. We're going to be watching and listening to some things. So those of you who want to hear and watch, go over to Sound Health Options, go to the radio tab, and go to Direction for Truth, where we're going to be talking about traitors, whether they are heroes or whether they ought to be put to death, as some people say, Benedict Arnold kind of thing. You never know which side is which and who is right. There's always more than two sides, I think, to everything. So we're going to talk about whistleblowers and what that really is right after a few announcements. Richard, I know you have at least one big announcement.
Well, I'll start with reminding people that right after this show, you will be able to go to soundhealthoptions.com, click on radio, then click on Direction for Truth for today, and there at the bottom will be a player that'll have the last five shows we've done. I think it's on that page. It's either there or on Blog Talk Radio. But there's a player with the last five shows from Blog Talk, and this usually appears there about 10 to 15 minutes after that. Sherry's quickly scrolling down that page. I'm trying to see if we get to the player. Not yet.
There.
No, maybe. Oh, no. All right. We'll get back to you on that.
I'll go look under happy hour and see if they moved it over there.
Okay.
They are redoing everything.
Yeah, everything's being redone. Always on the move. Maybe there under happy hour. Almost. You can always go to blogtalkradio.com/Sherry Edwards and find all of the 490 some odd shows there. The player, which is not on that page.
There's a lot of stuff on here.
There's a lot of good shows, but I don't see the player. The other thing I'll say while Sherry's scrolling is that you can also go to iTunes and search for Sherry Edwards and subscribe, which gives us kudos. We don't make any money. It's not a money thing. It just, you know, moves us up the rankings. And or do the same thing by using Pocket Casts, which is my favorite podcast aggregator, or Dog Catcher, any number of audio podcasters, and you'll get notified when the show becomes available, which is usually within a day because it takes those systems a little longer to get the show up. Now, the other announcement. Go ahead, Sherry.
Okay. I try to edit this and get it up the next day if we possibly can. But I will find out, what is that thing called a recorder,
player,
a reader,
a player.
Player. And it is gone off the site. There's
okay.
been some strange things happening with our site, too. So
mm-hmm.
we'll go look again, see where things are.
So the other announcement was this announcement from EcoWatch talking about some of the things to be on the lookout with the up-and-coming administration trying to be, you know, jockeyed into place, even though up until yesterday, six of the people who are candidates or appointees still had not filed any financial papers as they're supposed to. By law, the president-elect can kind of weasel around his tax returns, but the appointees cannot. And yet, as of yesterday, six of them who are trying to be pushed through by the Trump team haven't filed their papers, so that's a thing unto itself. But they're talking about
can't
the environmental
Congress
possibilities. Whoop. Go ahead, Sherry.
Can't Congress agree not to recognize them as candidates?
I believe so. Well, I don't know what the actual term is, but there is a process that appointees are supposed to go through, and they have to fill out these papers to be recognized. And I was listening to several different shows talking about people in the past that, oh, that was found and they couldn't possibly because they owed $300,000 in taxes, or they, you know, just had things that boxes that basically need to be checked off about who they are and what they're doing. And they didn't. So these people need to actually have that filled out. So I'm hoping that Schumer and his, you know, other side or any all the sides say, no, this person can't be approved just because that's not how it works. So this page, I'll put up the link on EcoWatch about both of them, because this has a lot of good information talking about environmental issues, about international climate agreement, how Trump doesn't want to have anything to do with the Paris Agreement. That would actually make us have to reduce things or have an agreement. You know, just all the stuff that's going on, whether it's methane and pollution and natural gas and waste, or restrictions on public financing for overseas projects that were put in by the Obama administration. This administration wants to overturn that immediately. The fact that they want to shut down the program for the satellites that monitor the Earth temperatures and other kind of environmental, they just want to shut that down. I guess that's one way of being in denial. You just don't have any data. So I'll put this up in both the show notes and over at WebEx for people to review. It's an, you know, amazing article of what could be afoot.
I think we are being lied to so much about from every direction. We just don't know what to believe where. And that's one of the reasons that we're going to talk about this on the show tonight. I have a couple of announcements, but you'll have to look them up. One of them is there is a group that runs our jail system, and even if you are innocent or proven innocent or they arrest you and then release you, you're still having to pay a per diem for your food and lodging, even if you're arrested and you're innocent. And I just think that's atrocious and it should be done away with. It just seems crazy to me that that's the law. Mistaken identity or whatever, and then you've got this big bill of like $80 a day. Which brings me to my question of the evening. What's the biggest lie? Because we were talking about whistleblowers and who's doing what or not. Who's supposed to be doing what or not? Are whistleblowers a good thing? We're going to talk a lot about the whistleblower from the CDC and how information there is being withheld. Is that the biggest lie? Richard, do you have an opinion about what's the biggest lie?
Well, we were talking about this a little bit backstage, and I had a smaller idea, and I think in a certain way I'd have to say organized religion is a lie. And the lie Well, I'll just use that as a symbol. I don't necessarily mean them absolutely, but that is the symbol of the this amazing thing of, you know, the don't worry, we'll take care of you, or we'll take care of it for you. I think a theme that's floating further to the top, and I know that, you know, that's why we love the work that you do, is because I've always been a fan, and I'm becoming even a more rabble-rousing fan about us taking care of ourselves. Because I think this is going to flame up big, particularly, let's say, for having to do with the Affordable Care Act. If the Republicans get their way, they'll close that all down without any real plan ready to go. And the estimates are that it would take a couple of years to get any kind of plan to go or organized. And, for example, I was listening to a couple of shows about this earlier today, and one of the examples, I think it was actually your senator from Ohio, Sherry, was talking about that if they close that down, that more than 600,000 people in Ohio will lose their current medical coverage.
Well, a lot of people in Ohio... Yeah, a lot of people in Ohio don't keep it because people in Ohio don't make enough money to even pay it. It ends up being half of their weekly paycheck to pay the premium, so they just pay at the end of the year and pay the fine. But I can't believe that they would shut it all down. That would be nuts. They'd lynch these people if they tried to shut this down without putting anything else in place. That would be suicide.
They haven't lynched them yet.
Just craziness.
Yeah.
Well, I was talking to a guy the other day, and he makes about $100,000 a year, which is way more than most people around here make, but that was he and his wife both combined, and their premiums were $31,000 a year for them and their kids. Who could pay $31,000 in insurance premiums? Even out of a combined salary of $100,000. That's a third of what they make. That's more than groceries or your house. Something has to give. I don't know what's right. I don't have a plan. But I do know that we were lied to get it up and running. You can vote for it, then read it. And we had Jonathan Gruber on the show, and he said, "You guys are too stupid to know what you need. We're going to do it for you." Now, if we back that up, isn't that kind of like some religions? Did we make our government in the same protocol or same steps as religion? And was religion created because man needed answers that they couldn't answer, so they created something to make an answer? The biggest lie. I think religion is right up there. And we invite the people in chat. Oh, we got some things pouring in already. We invite people in chat to tell us what they think is the biggest lie. And for the people who the government is taking your tax refund because you didn't take Obamacare, I think that's despicable. And Dr. Jennifer Daniels, Steve is posting this. She says the law does not authorize the IRS to penalize or collect any fines for not carrying insurance. They can only withhold the fine from a tax refund. So to avoid, adjust your withholdings so that you don't have a refund for them to steal. Well, that's a good idea. Just put that you have 100 deductions and then they can't take anything. I think they'd question 100. But that's a good strategy. You should talk to your tax people about it, if you have a tax person. So Richards thinks that religion is the biggest lie. And I think government is a big lie, or most of it. And it's based on how religion came about. But Richard and I both talked about some people will come up and say, "Oh, God save them," and whatever you want to talk about God as this man in the sky, or I tend to think that God is just all sentientness in one pot. It's all of us together is God. I don't particularly believe in organized religion, but a lot of people do. Suzanne says, I know a couple who pay $3,100 for two people. If they got rid of making people buy health insurance, then the Obamacare will collapse because only the sick will be left. Well, tell me why the government can't subsidize the sick people with the millions and millions that it's taken to put Obamacare together. You know, if people can't afford their own, that's what the government's supposed to be there for. And that's what the churches were for there in the beginning. If a family couldn't afford food or clothing or whatever, the church took care of it. So we've identified two lies, I think. Religion is one. Anybody else in our chat have some ideas? How about, is the biggest problem the lies parents tell to teens, or teens tell to parents, or students to teachers? That's kind of a human kind of thing. Fran, you have your video on, and it's dragging down our bandwidth here. We're looking at you knitting or something. I'm going to go ahead and close that.
Well, you mute that. I want to toss in for a second that I see somebody, Suzanne is making a comment about, and she's put an exclamation point about this, that she knows a couple that pays $3,100 for two people. 5 years ago, 6 years ago, my sister-in-law had her third kidney transplant. And because once you are on organ transplants, you're on anti-rejection drugs for the rest of your life. And right before that occurred, she was on anti-rejection drugs, and her personal insurance was more than $7,000 a month.
How can anybody afford that?
There was a lot of dancing on my brother's part. A lot of juggling. So I think that, maybe this is, reviewing the cost of healthcare is a great, is a great thing as well. But I mean, people are talking about how Affordable Care Act is ridiculously expensive. That was $5,000 a month for one person. And that was before she started having all of her surgeries. I mean, that's amazing.
Well, I think with the Affordable Care Act, they're trying to disperse the cost over a lot of people. And I just think the government ought to take that responsibility and help out your brother, sister-in-law. But I do think insurance is good and bad. You're betting that you're not going to get sick, and the insurance company's betting you are, or whichever way it is. Just like mandatory car insurance on your own car and on other people, I can see that's mandatory. So is insurance a big lie? Is marriage a big lie? Is our legal system a big lie? I think that's a biggie right there, because the whole system is about who can lie the best. We support lying in our legal system. We support somebody saying, I didn't do it, when you have all the evidence in the world that they did. And they still stand up there and swear. Where did we learn to lie? Is the CDC one of the biggest liars? You want to comment, Richard?
I'm not actually picking on Trump. It's just something that he said that comes to mind. I remember during one of the debates that he talked about, I think Hillary was giving him static about all the deductions he was taking. And at that time, his response was, that makes me a smart businessman. And
I remember that.
And if you don't like that, well, why don't you pass a law to change that? Well, that's really a very good question. Why don't we change the law to make that not possible? To make the money that's going down the tubes into who knows what pockets, evidently not ours, that's for sure. But I mean, I'm jumping on that partially with what you're saying about, is our legal system a lie? Things like that need to be looked at and poked at with a stick and figured out.
There is another one here along that line, that the IRS is a big lie. that we have to pay money because we earn money, because the government needs our money, but then we have no say on what happens to that money, and trillions of dollars have been thrown into wars, not for our soldiers, but for professional, is it such a thing as professional military? So all these people can get rich on gun running and that kind of thing. So what is the lie? And since there is so much lying, are whistleblowers a good thing? Do you have an answer to that?
I think they are. I think you need, you know, somebody, what do you call a whistleblower, like Woodward and Bernstein or Edward Snowden, or, you know, anybody that gathers material that then proves a story, you know, Watergate. I mean, any of the classic old school reporters were whistleblowers. And without those whistleblowers, the system itself seems to just want to keep things tucked away and hidden. And, you know, we currently have a president-elect who is not communicating to the press. His press seems to be Twitter. You know, how do we have knowledge unless there are whistleblowers who are willing to dig things up and poke them and jump on them and go, look at this, look at that? How would we know that Flint, Michigan ever happened if there wasn't somebody willing to step up in the system, a whistleblower, or somebody say, you know, look at this over here? So I think we need whistleblowers.
And somebody is saying here that one of the biggest lies is, love you. That's a biggie. Because they really don't. Steve says, per the Supreme Court, income is profit from a business activity. Trading your labor at a job for a equal exchange of money is not income, but good luck trying to convince the IRS of that ruling. That's one of the reasons that I supported Trump, as you can see, Richard and I are on opposite sides, because I want the IRS abolished, and I want some kind of fair tax. That is a biggie to me, because I just think we have been screwed from time beginning. Even if you look at England and where we came from, or all the countries we came from, taxation without representation, horrible taxation from the little guy who really couldn't say much about it. And that's the way America was built. Let's let the little guy have a say. Suzanne says, that's why I like the fair tax. It's consumption-based tax, and it eliminates the IRS. Yes, that the IRS is a big lie. And there's many people in jail who say the IRS is illegal and I'm not paying taxes. So they took their house, they took everything, and they threw them in jail, even though the law says that you can't be put in jail for a debt. That's one of the basic principles we were supported on. So we're getting lied to all the time. But I think there's lies that are worse than legal lies, worse than IRS lies, and that's health lies, the CDC. And what is Center for Disease Control? Now, I was told that this is a government entity, but we now know this is not a government entity. It's like private. And this is about the CDC whistleblowers, and we're going to talk about some of them because I have taken their vocal prints and looked at them. And then we're going to show one other thing about the new movie Vaxxed, which really exposes the big lies. And think about this in opposition, lie and truth. What we're doing is really seeking the truth. I think the next thing we're seeking is what is fair and just. And is the truth always fair and just? Something to think about. I found this about the CDC and some of the whistleblowers, and I just think it's incredible. And if you're watching right along onto the right, is CDC responds, admits omitting vaccine data. But in our legal system for years, they have said, you're getting it all, you're getting everything we have. and now it's proven to be a big lie. And I think this lie is the biggest one, for me anyway, because it affects generations of the human race.
Oh my God, I cannot believe we did what we did. But we did. It's all there. It's all there.
This is a real story of a real fraud.
What's the lowest point in my career that I went along with that paper?
Deliberate, high-level deception of the American people with disastrous consequences for its children's health. In order to give context to the extraordinary story that you're about to hear, a little historical perspective is important. Many of you will have heard of Tuskegee. Dirt-poor sharecroppers in Macon County, Alabama. Black men with syphilis. From 1932, 339 men were told by the Public Health Service, the forerunner of today's CDC, that they had bad blood. The motive of public health doctors was to study the natural history of syphilis in the black man. Natural history in this case means deliberately untreated. These men were deliberately left untreated, even when something as effective as penicillin came along. Worse still, those infected were actively prevented by public health doctors from getting this life-saving drug. Men suffered and died. Women continued being infected, and babies continued to be born with congenital syphilis. A shiny new CDC took over in the late 1960s, refused to stop the experiment. Not until every last man had been opened up on their autopsy table. The experiment was stopped, not because the CDC realized the barbaric nature of their enterprise, but because a whistleblower by the name of Peter Buxton leaked the story to a journalist at the Washington Star. The story was published on July 25, 1972, hit the front page of the New York Times, and the experiment was stopped shortly thereafter. Congressional hearings followed. So unethical, so inhumane was this public health experiment that it led to a change in the CDC's code of medical ethics. Except it didn't. 30 years later, the CDC was to do something arguably far worse. Over a decade ago, Dr. Scott Montgomery and I put forward a hypothesis for MMR vaccine and autism. The age that you receive the vaccine influences the risk. This makes sense. For some infections like measles, the age of infection changes the outcome. We shared this hypothesis with vaccine officials, members of the Centers for Disease Control at meetings in Washington, D.C., and Cold Spring Harbor. A group of senior vaccine safety people at the CDC studied it. It panned out. We were right. At least partly. By November the 9th, 2001, nearly 13 years ago, senior CDC scientists knew that younger age of exposure to MMR was associated with an increased risk of autism. In 2004, they published. But they hid the results.
That's the lowest point in my career that I went along with that paper. And I went along with this. We didn't report significant findings.
MMR was declared safe.
The IOM has evaluated this issue back in 2004 and again most recently in 2011. And, you know, their conclusion, again, was not just looking at the work that was done at CDC, but with a total body of evidence, was suggesting that vaccines and their components did not increase the risk for autism.
What Dr. Colleen Boyle, a co-author of that blighted paper, did not tell Congress is that she and her colleagues had deliberately concealed the autism vaccine link from the Institute of Medicine and the public. Ironically, they even received an award from the Secretary of Health and Human Services for this work. So troubling was the fraud that one of the CDC researchers broke ranks. Eventually, he made contact with Dr. Brian Hooker, father of a vaccine-injured child with autism and a vaccine safety researcher.
I received a phone call out of the blue. It had a 404 area code, so I knew it was from the CDC. Lo and behold, it was Bill Thompson. He had much to confess.
I'm completely ashamed of what I did. I have great shame now. I was complicit, and I went along with this.
Dr. Thompson had appointed me his priest. And when he appointed me his priest, then he started confessing. And we have had many, many phone exchanges. We've exchanged dozens of emails, and he has released quite compelling information regarding fraud and malfeasance in the CDC.
We didn't report significant findings.
Thompson sent Hooker information that was never intended for public scrutiny. From their own data sheets dated 2001, Dr. Hooker analyzed the CDC's results, and he found the same risk for autism that the CDC scientists had themselves identified.
It's all there. It's all there.
He confronted Thompson.
He has expressed significant remorse for lying, for burying data.
I have great shame now when I meet families with kids with autism because I have been part of the problem.
This week, August the 10th, 2014, Dr. Hooker published the real findings. A 340% increased risk of autism in boys receiving the MMR on time compared with those receiving it later. 13 years and tens of thousands of children later. But as I've said, Dr. Montgomery and I were only partly right. The risk of autism from early MMR vaccination was seen in black children, black boys. Those boys, for some reason, are at very high risk. Consistent with the CDC's own findings, the rate of autistic regression in black children is reported to be twice that in white children.
Oh my God, I cannot believe we did what we did.
Tuskegee Revisited. Scientist Dr. David Lewis, an international expert in whistleblowing and the detection of scientific fraud, reviewed the original CDC documents and the paper they published in 2004.
Probably this is the clearest case and the easiest case in which to answer, is it fraud or is it an accident? Is it just an artifact of the study that we're dealing with here? Clearly it's fraud.
He knows that he's culpable for damage. He knows that he's culpable for permanent damage of a large, significant portion of the population in the United States.
The higher-ups wanted to do certain things, and I went along with it.
Dr. Frank DeStefano, Dr. Marsha Lynn Jürgen Alsop, Dr. Colleen Boyle, they knew. They let it happen, and they could have stopped it. Michigan lawyer Allison Fulmar, an award-winning advocate for children and parental rights, gave her reaction.
I feel, first and foremost, as a human being, you know, betrayed. When you lose your faith and trust in humanity, you know, how do you repair that? I mean, I don't really know what to say, to be honest.
Thompson is very regretful about his involvement.
That's the lowest point in my career that I went along with that paper. I'm not going to lie. I basically have stopped lying.
You see, vile as the crimes of Stalin, Pol Pot, and Hitler were, these men were not hypocrites. Their motives ambiguous or their rhetoric glazed with apparent caring and compassion. These men were not entrusted with the welfare of their victims. Their mottos did not include the words to save lives and protect. They were not running a mandatory program disguised as caring. How many children? How many went to the wall in that decade of silence? How many presidents, Mr. Obama?
I find this despicable. And the movie Vaxxed, if anybody can find a link for it, several of you have put in links to other vaccines, things that are happening this evening. Vaccines, that's plural, vaccinesrevealed.com at 8 p.m. Central tonight. Steve posted that, episode one. Susan Baim posted, I guess you have to put in, Trump asked prominent anti-vaxxer to head a committee. Is that Kennedy? We've got it in the chat here. If you can put it in the chat over in Blog Talk, and we'll also put it up on our site, soundhealthoptions.com. Many of you have put up pieces. Vaxxed, which we have a little bit of it for you to watch. To me, of all the lies, our legal system, that's right now. Our IRS, that's right now. The government, right now, and some. Religion, I guess, has just ruined generations. But we're talking about our children and our generations of health. Now, we looked at today, we looked at Andrew Wakefield's voice, and I also looked at Thompson's voice, and it has disappeared. Let me find it again. Thompson's voice is mostly blue. And for those of you who have not watched the show before, we are using a computer program called NanoVoice. And it is free on our site, soundhealthoptions.com. And before we leave today, we're going to show you how to tell who's telling the truth about what. And I took what you just heard that Dr. Thompson said about being sorry, and I found another one that is an excerpt from that. And we're looking at the note of E, 321 hits on the note of E. That's words. It's blue. Personal or emotional words is what came out of that. Now, he's leaving a lot out. And when you look at the numbers on this grid, you can see there's one connection. We have a little booklet on how to read these nano voices. It is 12 notes across and 6 octaves high. And if things are connected by the squares, and we have one little 4 here on foundational E, he's up here in naive. I would not be surprised if this man committed suicide. To having to live with this. Go ahead, Richard.
No, I was just, that was just a response. Yeah. How could you live with that? I mean, how could you have that information in your head? That would be amazing.
And know it, and know you deliberately helped to maim, mentally destroy generations of children. He is the right person to talk about this. You can feel, you're going to hear some more about this on another video. You can feel his remorse. You can feel his self-loathing, and he has no way out. The other person involved in this is Andrew Wakefield. And Dr. Wakefield wrote an article about how vaccines destroy the gut biome. And Mike Adams has been very supportive of him. Dr. Wakefield was from England, and it was in a journal there. And Brian Deer is a reporter who said that Wakefield was nuts and whatever, and they took away his license. And as it turns out, the truth is, Wakefield was correct. The journal lost, I don't know what they lost. They're not in publication anymore. I don't know if they had some kind of edict from the government or whatever. But when you look at Andrew Wakefield's vocal print, it is incredible. This is not a wave file. This is his real words. With a wave file, everything is filled in. He is one of the most honest people. He and Ron Paul, Barbara Lowe Fisher, and Gwen Olson. And we haven't had Ron Paul on the show, but we've had the rest of them on the show. But his Wakefield is for a purpose, for an emotional purpose, because we're looking at a lot of green columns. And his highest one is the note of G, and that's for a successful or useful purpose of something physical. Andrew Wakefield is one of my heroes. Dr. Thompson, for coming forward, is one of my heroes. He came forward with the truth because he felt like the truth would stop. I don't even know what to call it. The maiming of children. And children are our most important resource. Susan Abame says, President-elect Donald Trump has asked anti-vaccine activist Robert F. Kennedy Jr. to chair a commission on vaccine safety, Kennedy said after meeting with Trump on Tuesday. The appointment is certain to rattle the scientific community, since Kennedy is a well-known anti-vaccine advocate who falsely believes that vaccine ingredients cause autism. This is a claim that scientists have debunked time and time again. President Trump has some doubts about the current vaccine policies, and he has questions about it, Kennedy said after the meeting, according to a POOL report. Why are they saying it's just the adjuvant ingredients? Why isn't it the vaccine itself? We had a lady in today that her little toe side of her foot was aching and hurting, and we'd seen that before. And I said, within the last 3 months, you've had a tetanus shot, yes? She said, yes. That's where the tetanus lays down when it doesn't turn into anything and the virus just sits there and eats away the nerves in that part of the foot. I'm looking at more. Sherry, did anyone mention mainstream media as a source of lies? Yeah, we should put down media as one of the biggest lies. I'll write that. I'll add it to my list. Vaccines had a rocky start. The first polio vaccine killed Dr. Oster's grandson and crippled his granddaughter. I'm just reading from the chat here. There will be a link, to the special tonight. That is awesome. Okay, Richard put in Vaxxed, V-A-X-X-E-D, themovie.com. It will be a
may
special
I add a,
show.
May I add a little footnote in there about media that I think we need to add beyond the phrase mainstream, because I think we're all of us, well, within a certain ballpark of age where mainstream media means something versus today millennials and people who grew up with electronic devices glued to their hands all the time. Social media is more important and more powerful than mainstream media. Like, there are numerous parents I know with children who don't watch TV, but they watch everything on YouTube. So we really have to watch social media as a source of rapidly moving brush fire like spin, which can be a lie or not, but it moves very quickly. And I'll just add in there that if you know, like on Facebook, if you're following something and if you see something that you disagree with, whoever it is, and if you like, dislike, that's all you have to do is make any kind of, you know, either you can make a comment or you can like or dislike it, that moves it up in ranking because that's showing that it's getting attention. So that if you want something to not have attention, don't attention it. That's the power of, you know, like, don't tweet about it. As soon as you engage in the argument, you're giving it more juice.
Yes. One of the reasons that we provide these classes, these workshops, this radio show, is so that you can look at the difference and compare Andrew Wakefield with the person accusing him of being a liar, and you're seeing a picture of Brian Deere, who said he was a reporter. And you can see that there are large holes in what he said. He doesn't have very much emotion at all. He doesn't have any green for a good purpose. He has a high note of F, and that's usually balance of perception and action. But if it's in some of the top octaves, which his is, he has a 29, that's about half of normal, in top fantasy octaves, this indicates it's not his idea, but someone else. So someone is probably paying him. And you can see a separation in his chart by the numbers in F and F sharp. So a lack of a comprehensive balance between perception and outcome. And when you see such great big holes in someone's chart, and they're at different places, if they're all in one place, then they're just withholding information. This guy is actually creating information. Deer has a plan. He just can't get the pieces to fit. I'm reading from his report that's on our Sound Health Options site. There are far too many gaps on all levels for this to be the graph of someone who integrates thoughts with reality. Brian Deer is emotionally, mentally, intellectually, and publicly scattered in his presentation. Now, I wrote this just a few months after he went after Dr. Wakefield, and it has now been proven that he was paid to put this out and paid to lie. And the journal that published all of this, which I can't remember the name, is now defunct because they didn't check out Brian Deer. You could have checked out Brian Deer. You can check out any of these people. You can check out Trump and Hillary and Sissons and everybody coming along, as long as you have a video. And Richard mentioned before the class that there are nearly 500 videos that we have done to help people learn how to interpret all of these numbers and these columns. Dr. Thompson is telling the truth, but there's a heavy, heavy weight on him. When you see a relationship 300 when 42 is normal in emotional words, and he's talking about his remorse and how he feels about this, that's all he can concentrate on for the moment. I will try to find him talking about other things and see if there's any more a cohesiveness to what he's saying. But I would not doubt that he's in deep depression about this, and I could hear suicide in his voice. This is a news media about all of this. The biggest lie, the lies that hurt others, and not only others who are your peers, but the lies that hurt generations of the human race, the biggest lie. Whistleblowers are needed, and Obama just pardoned Dr. Thompson. Is that incredible? Obama, see if I can find it. Obama grants immunity to CDC whistleblower on measles vaccine linked to autism. That's incredibly wonderful.
Wow.
Well, I just had this up. Where did I lose it? This is only the 4-minute one. I wanted to play the 9-minute one. Well, that's okay. We'll play the 4-minute one. This is an overall about Vax, and I'll try to find the other one while we're looking.
From film festivals, Vaxxed, from cover-up to catastrophe, claims that the CDC, America's Centers for Disease Control, manipulated and hid data that proves that there is a link between vaccines and autism.
I think my child's had adverse reaction to those shots, and then came the head banging, constant banging against anything that he could find.
Right now, I'm sitting in a very pretty position in terms of providing you a lot of information.
They sliced and diced the data in an effort to get rid of that effect.
The relative risk of receiving an autism diagnosis was astronomical.
Wow. The CDC had known all along there was this MMR autism risk.
With us right now this morning is the director and co-writer of Vax, Dr. Andrew Wakefield, and the film's producer, Polly Tommy. Polly also has a 20-year-old son with autism. Good morning to both of you.
Morning.
Dr. Wakefield, you are linked to the story ever since back in 1998. You put out a study that linked a connection between the MMR vaccine and autism.
New discovery.
And so years later, you've come up and you're putting out this particular documentary because you are talking about the corruption behind the scenes at the CDC.
Yes, I've been involved in this debate for 20 years. It's one of the hottest debates in medicine. It hasn't gone away.
Mm-hmm.
And then suddenly, after 20 years, a CDC senior scientist, Dr. William Thompson, comes forward and says that they have known for 14 years that MMR vaccine is causally associated with autism, and they have covered it up. And so the film, it's his words, it's his opinion, it's his documents that really carry the message of this film, that there has been a huge cover-up which has put millions of American children in harm's way, and it was totally unnecessary.
Well, millions of Americans have heard about your original report. Where is there a connection between the MMR vaccine and autism? I know your son, you were once upon a time pro-vaccine.
Yeah.
But then tell us a little bit about your son, Billy.
Okay, well, I was extremely pro-vaccine, as all the parents are in the same situation as I was. We took our children along to get the shots. We trusted our pediatricians. We didn't think to
you
question.
Got to.
Quite. Well, we did this, and for my son, he had the MMR in the morning. By the evening, he was in hospital having a huge convulsion, and we never got him back. He's 20 years old now, and he is doing the best he can, but he should be at college. He's missed his childhood. He's missed his teenage years, and the future is very bleak for people like Billy, and he's one of millions, mm-hmm. millions worldwide.
Do you feel that it was the MMR vaccine?
Oh, I know. As his mother, it was the MMR vaccine. In fact,
because it just happened. Too much of a coincidence, if it were not.
The doctors in the hospital said he's having a reaction to the MMR vaccine, but it will be okay. Well, it wasn't okay. And for every day that the media says vaccines do not cause autism, every day that injection is going into children and damaging more and more and more babies. It has to stop.
Sure. Dr. Wakefield, I know at the Tribeca Film Festival, this was supposed to be played, but Robert De Niro decided not to. It's actually got a family member with autism. Are politics involved in this?
Undoubtedly. I mean, you know, we have tried to convey to people that this is not in any way an anti-vaccine movie. It is reporting upon a fraud in the CDC, the nation's foremost health agency.
This is about corruption.
It's about corruption, absolutely. And Robert De Niro was put in an invidious position, I believe, by the board of Tribeca, where having announced that the film was going to play, he then had to retract it. Repeatedly since that time, he has endorsed the film and said, everybody must see this film, and that is the case. You, as you say out there, Fox News, we report, you decide.
Mm-hmm.
Please see this film. Make up your own mind. Do not be persuaded by journalists who've written without ever having reviewed the film.
Sure.
In advance, saying this is an anti-vaccine movie.
Robert De Niro is just a father, just like I'm a parent. You know, he's a parent of a child that's been damaged by
sure.
a vaccine. He just wants to do the right thing, and he's been by our side right from the beginning on this. So
I'm going to watch it.
You need to watch it. Everyone
right.
needs to watch it.
Polly and Dr. Wakefield, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Once again, the movie is out there. It's called Vaxxed, V-A-X-X-E-D.
Even if you have to buy it and pass around copies, this information about this big lie so that people can put money in their pocket and damage generation after generation needs to be out to the public. Send the information, the links in the chat to everybody you know. Oh, I'm going to turn this back around. I had it pointed the other way. Sorry. Thank you for telling me, Susan. Let people know that if they want to test this for themselves, go listen, record some of these videos. Look at their voice. See who's telling the truth. I don't even have an evil enough imagination to think about what will happen if we as parents, grandparents, citizens let this go on. There is another video that I think is incredible, and I'm just going to put it up here. We don't have time to play it. I totally trust Stephanie Seneff. Can skip this video in 5 seconds, so let's see.
Have overturned 150 years of scientific...
Advertisement, okay.
Another component of autism, at least that it's an argument anyway, is vaccines. You know, kids these days are getting multiple times more than, you know, when I was a child. Is this making us healthier, more protected, or what is it actually doing?
No, I mean, I really think we've way overdone it on the vaccines. It's funny how we've managed to program people to believe so thoroughly that vaccines are awesome, you know. This was all set up with the polio and the smallpox, you know. You say, oh, yes, of course, vaccines are wonderful. When can I get a vaccine for this? You know, give me a vaccine that will fix this problem. We've got that entire mentality, which is amazing to me because the vaccines are full of toxic chemicals. And certainly I looked at the vaccines first, and I have there's a great database, the VARS database, Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System. Very, very interesting. And I've looked at it. I mean, I'm a computer scientist, so I can go, you know, look at the number crunching, looking at the words and what statistical distributions and whatnot. You can find a lot of things out from looking at VARS. And one thing really striking is MMR. MMR is the vaccine, measles, mumps, and rubella. And Andrew Wakefield connected that to autism way back when, like 1998, I guess. He had this paper in Lancet, which was very interesting. And he had taken these certain cases of kids with autism and connected it to the MMR vaccine. And he had a whole theory. In fact, he was into the idea of the gut, the gut-brain axis connection and disruption of the gut even back then. So this is something that's been around as a theory for autism for a long time. And he targeted MMR, but he didn't really explain what is it in MMR that's causing this. And I was frustrated by that as well. I confirmed in my studies of the VARS database that MMR is associated with autism. And I wrote a paper on that. And I proposed at the time that possibly, and it was something somebody else had also proposed, which was that the acetaminophen that is given, it was just to control the fever.
Sure.
Kids are often given that around the vaccine. And that can become toxic to certain kids who can't metabolize it properly. Well, so it turns out, only recently did I figure out the connection to glutamate with MMR. It's truly amazing because MMR is one of the few vaccines that contain glutamate. And, of course, glutamate is toxic to autistic kids because they don't have manganese. That's my theory anyway. And so when you've got that extra glutamate directly injected in through the vaccine, it goes to the brain because of the influence of the glyphosate. The glyphosate actually opens up barriers. It opens up the gut barrier and it opens up the brain barrier, which allows these things to get in. So then what I've done only recently, and I haven't published this yet, but I looked at MMR before and after 2002. You can take like a group, all the vaccines before, all the vaccines after, same vaccine, and just look at the reports of the adverse reactions, look statistically at the numbers to see which ones are occurring out differently. They ought to all be the same because it's the same vaccine, but they're not. And so it's very, very interesting because the vaccines, the events that occur, the reactions that occur after 2002, one of them is autism. It predicts autism statistically significantly when you compare after 2002 with before 2002. What this is saying is that now it's causal in autism, but then it wasn't in some sense. You know, or it's more causal in autism now than it was then. And it also predicts all these things having to do with the brain. You know, there's seizures and the sort of shortness of breath and swelling of the face. I mean, all these things. So, you know, brain swelling is one of the things that's connected to autism. And so so it's really strange that it's different before and after. And the reason for it, I think, is the glyphosate. So that the two are working synergistically together to cause harm because the glyphosate is depleting the manganese, which is causing the glutamate to be toxic, and the glyphosate is causing the glutamate to go into the brain. Before 2002, there's only one thing that's more prevalent before 2002, which is joint pain. So joint pain says it's not going to the brain, it's going to the joints, you know? So this, and all of those things that are different between before and after are known to be reactions to glutamate for people who have a sensitivity to glutamate. So it totally makes sense that it's the glutamate in the vaccine that's causing the problem, and that the glutamate is much more toxic now because of the glyphosate. So all this is connecting up. And the same thing is true for the aluminum in the vaccines as well. And people have talked a lot about the mercury, and the mercury certainly is an issue, and it's very toxic. I looked at the aluminum because that's the one that's gone up quite a bit. We have a lot of aluminum-containing vaccines now that we didn't have before. So that one fits with the, what's going up in step with the autism increase.
When you look bioacoustically at what she has said, the glyphosate and the glutamate are analogs of each other. Bioacoustically, they are the same frequency. So here a cell reaches out for glutamate, a very natural amino acid that it needs, and glyphosate is there in the grains, the cereals, the vegetables, because they're spraying vegetables now when they begin to harvest. They're spraying them with glyphosate to kill all the green stuff and only leave the tomatoes or whatever they're picking, but they've sprayed that glyphosate directly on the tomatoes also. And she goes on, Dr. Seneff goes on to say about the gut barrier, and that's why that's happening. And then the next step that we're going to work on is the brain barrier, and that's what's causing this surge in Alzheimer's. I would encourage you to go to YouTube to watch this. Stephanie Seneff about autism and vaccines. We are out of time. Thank you for being here. Please share this idea, information with other people. It's just incredibly important. Any last thoughts, Richard?
We've also had Stephanie Seneff on the show on the Sunday Blog Talk Radio show a couple of times, and she's fierce in a really smart way. I mean, she really is a hardcore researcher. You know, you don't really want to ever piss off somebody who is a researcher at MIT because they can figure things out, and she's got a lot of great information, and she backs it up with real research and actual science. I'm a big fan of hers.
She got into this testing when they put her husband on statins, and it sort of ruined his musculature, and she started looking at what statins were doing. That was her first expose. She has her own site, and Steve has put in here http://tiny.cc/Seneff, S-E-N-E-F-F. And Steve has this whole collection of things that we do here on the show that are awesome, I think, I know. And he collects them so that everybody can go look at all of the resources. Thank you, Steve, for being so supportive of the show. Thank you for being here. I haven't the slightest idea who's going to be on the show on Sunday, but we try to bring things that will help you have a better life. The show is not here just because Richard and I want to hear ourselves talk. We try to provide information will support you. So thank you for being here in each show that we do.
Thanks, everybody. Have a great rest of the week, and we'll see you on Sunday. Bye-bye.